From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Split show for you tonight. In a moment, Whitley and Ann Strieber and Starfear Tor join us on Time Shifts, followed by Brad Steiger, Vampires, Night Stalkers, and Creatures from the Dark Side. But here's what's happening. Well, the next time you hold up a cell phone to your head and your ear, listen to this. Recent scientific studies linking cell phone use with health effects such as brain cancer are showing increased evidence of harm, according to a report by the Environmental Working Group, a public health advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. However, other experts roundly criticize the report as a one-sided effort that focuses only on evidence linking mobile phone use with ill health effects while ignoring studies that found no ill health effects. Even so, the EWG scientists say there is cause for concern. They say recent studies are showing a 50% to 90% increased risk for two types of brain tumors among people who have used cell phones for at least 10 years. An emerging new form of malaria poses a deadly threat to humans, according to research. It had been thought that a parasite infected only monkeys. Not true now. They have recently found that it is widespread in humans in Malaysia, and the latest study confirms that it can kill if not treated quickly. A one-year-old girl from China is waiting to have an operation after doctors discovered she was carrying her parasitic twin. She left doctors baffled after her belly became enlarged. They carried out a CT scan to discover the cause of the growth and found a fetus inside of her, 1 year old. President Barack Obama's health care address tonight to Congress was greeted with some disruptions, including one moment in which a congressman accused the president of lying. The incident came directly after Mr. Obama said, "There are also those who claim that our reform effort will ensure illegal immigrants." "This, too, is false," he said. "The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally." South Carolina Republican Representative Joe Wilson shouted, "You lie." Listen closely.
"There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This too is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally."
So you heard that right at the end. Wilson's outburst caused the president to pause briefly before he went on with his speech. Actor Charlie Sheen wants a meeting with President Obama to discuss his belief that the September 11 terror attacks an inside job. In an interview with PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com, the 2.5 Men star unveils a fictional 20-minute exchange that he imagines having with Obama, whom he supported in the November election. In a moment, Alex Jones, who runs the websites Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, will join us. He posted the fictitious interview, and we will talk with him. As you know, we talked about that briefly last night on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to get Alex's take on why it was posted and what happened. Mexican police have freed more than 100 passengers unharmed after a jet flying from Cancun to Mexico City was hijacked by a religious fanatic. A 40-year-old Bolivian man threatened to blow up the Aeromexico plane unless allowed to speak to the president, Felipe Calderon. He said that he acted on 9 September 2009 because the numbers 999 were the inverse of 666, the number linked to the Antichrist. And today, of course, has been 999. Everyone from brides and grooms to movie studio execs are celebrating the upcoming anomaly in their own way. In Florida, for example, at least one county clerk's office offered one-day wedding specials for $99.99. Also, Focus Features releasing their new film, Nine. It's an animated tale about the apocalypse on the 9th. And not only does the date look good in marketing promotions, but it also represents the last set of repeating single-digit dates that we'll see for almost a century until January 1st, 2101, or a millennium. Mark your calendars for this one. January 1st, 3001, depending on how you want to count it. Glynis McCants is our numbers lady. Glynis, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How about you?
Good. 999. What's it mean?
Well, the first thing, when people see that, they always think, okay, it's 999 and that's all it is. But in truth, when you do numerology on a date, you have to take the whole date and reduce it to one digit. So 992009, when you add that all up, it becomes 29. You break it down further. 2 plus 9 becomes 11. 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 means love, peace, harmony. These are people not looking for conflict, and that's why it was such a powerful wedding day. Like, I had well over 10 clients get married today, George.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is. I mean, and a lot of people call and say, is this a good time to just elope? And I said, absolutely. Making sure, of course, it was compatible to their vibration. But also, the number 9 represents the humanitarian and caring about all people. So the fact that Barack Obama spoke today about health care, I don't think that was an accident, George, because the man's a 2 life path, just like today adds up to a 2. And 9 means trying to get everybody to get in alignment with what he wants. And this was a good day to do it.
And, you know, today was a day also that I've seen more jovial people than I've seen, Glynis, in a long, long time.
Right. Like trying to find the sense of humor again, right?
Yep.
Take it more lightly, not take it so seriously. That's what today was about, and that is what 999 means. Now, next year, isn't there 10-10-10?
10-10-10.
Right? So people will be talking about that date.
Hey, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so there's always some one date. Like last year, 888, I told you it was a difficult day. I said it was going to be a problem politically. That's when John Edward came out and said he had the affair, and that's when Putin did the bombing of Georgia, where 3,000 people died. That was 888.
I love it.
Okay. So these dates do tell you something, but today was a good day in numerology.
All right, Glynis, thanks. Glynis' website, numberslady.com. If you go up to coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the homepage, take a look at the brand new Hubble pictures. You know, everyone's favorite telescope is Hubble. It's in space. It's doing its science thing. And thanks to upgrades and repairs made in May, it's taking better pictures of the universe than ever before. And while NASA's future plans remain in doubt, 8 new photos were unveiled at the agency's headquarters, and they are really startling. They really are. Alex Jones is back, and he's up next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, as you know, for years now, I have had Alex Jones on this program. He is a great researcher for us and good investigator. He has covered the Bohemian Grove. He has covered the Bilderberg meetings like no one else has. He is uncovering information on the swine flu, as I call it, non-pandemic. But last night, he posted on his website something that just drove me nuts. Let me briefly tell you about it. Charlie Sheen, actor, good actor, who believes that we need a new investigation into 9/11, as I do, has pointed out 20 important questions that the 9/11 Commission has failed to truly look at and look at in depth. And I agree with that. And Charlie's done a great job with those questions. But what happened is they put together, Charlie specifically, an interview with President Barack Obama, and posted the 20-minute interview on Alex's websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. The problem is that it wasn't a real interview. And there are a lot of people who got confused by that. And that's dangerous. Now, I'm going to bring Alex in, and we're going to explain with him why we feel that this should not have occurred. And he's going to tell us what happened. And here he is, Alex Jones. Alex, how are you?
Hey, George, I'm sorry about the confusion. Because I have a pure heart on political issues and a long, you know, very successful and documented record, I did not even think about how some people would take Charlie Sheen's mock letter to the president. I apologize for that fact that some people got confused by it. We probably should have had a more detailed disclaimer at the top instead of the bottom. But the biggest reason I regret not thinking it through a little bit more closely was because the controversy distracted a little bit from the hardcore information that Charlie put in his 20 bullet points contained in the larger letter. And this is the key. The truth is, George, I saw 20 Minutes with the President as more of a piece of literature created by Charlie Sheen. So I was busy admiring it, and I guess I got a little bit of
television. You got carried away with it.
Got carried away. But also, I want to clear something up while I'm here with you and your huge audience of 60 million people.
Well, it's not 60, but that, thank you.
Well, it is 16 million. I read in the paper. Is that wrong?
I don't know. I didn't write it.
But 20 minutes with the president was not the big announcement. It was the beginning of the big announcement, and I put a video out before it came out Monday saying that. The big announcement was that Charlie Sheen has officially requested, in writing, an interview with President Barack Obama. And I was also going to be releasing tomorrow a video special message that Sheen's put out to the president and 9/11 Truth concerning the 9/11 cover-up. And so that's basically all that happened here. And Charlie wanted to demonstrate the type of political spin he's seen from Obama and others, and actually paraphrase a lot of quotes from Obama on 9/11 and other issues in it. And that was just his idea as the first thing to put out to get people to read his 20 bullet points. And I admire his courage, but I also just sometimes, I'm the type of guy who's real smart on a lot of issues, George, but I'll be looking for my sunglasses and they're sitting on top of my head. Or I'll be looking for my keys and they're in my back pocket. You know, sometimes I literally, this totally blindsided me. I didn't even think that it would go in that direction. And for that, I apologize.
Well, you know, I got a lot of emails from a lot of Coast to Coast listeners and your fans as well last night, Alex, after I talked about this. And some of them said, what are you doing, Alex? Why are you beating him up? Why? That's not. And I just want everybody to understand my issue is the issue of accuracy in an inflammable story that you and Charlie and so many great folks of academia and physicists and experts are trying to prove through good research, and that is the 9/11 Commission, with even six of the 10 members saying it was a joke. And I'm paraphrasing that, but that's what they
said. No, but you're right. I mean, six of the 10, well, that's the core of Charlie's argument. And, but I mean, you're absolutely right. And so that's
and so see, when you see the banner on Infowars.com and it says, you know, 20 minutes with the president, gives you the impression that Charlie actually had a 20-minute interview with President Barack Obama. And the disclaimer, some say it didn't go up for 90 minutes. I don't know. I'll have you address that it was added later. And that's what really added to the confusion as well. How long was that?
It's Murphy's Law. I don't know all this web stuff, but people that know WordPress and we have remote servers, that because I said a big announcement at 8, when they put it up, first it didn't have the links. Half of it was chopped off at first. Then they were able to load up most of it and had the image of his signature at the bottom. That was actually a scanned-in signature of his that he wanted to put in there. I thought that was a good idea. And so that somehow with WordPress, this happens routinely, but it's usually articles that are no big deal. Then the servers got overwhelmed. The sites were going up and down. And when that happens, your webmasters can tell you, Lex can tell you this, you can't get into it. And so I was in the shower getting ready in the morning. I just said launch at 8 in the morning. I walk in and I go, hey, people are saying here, hey. And so I called the web guys and they go, yes, we know. We're trying to upload it. So right now, I've been trying for months to get actual fiber optics into my office so that we can have the servers there because it's an ongoing issue, not just when we're getting heavy traffic, but that's all, you know, techie issue. The main thing here is, George, this is the 8th year anniversary coming up, and the bottom line is there is a world government forming, an open bank of the world that wants us to pay carbon taxes. We were right about that. They're now talking about the end of the dollar in the Associated Press and all these mainstream stories. I know you've seen it the last 2 days. This isn't about Alex Jones or George Norrie, even President Obama. It's about global domination and the tyrants of the New World Order. And I don't want people to be distracted by my imperfections.
But I want people to know that when you come on this program or when you're on Infowars.com or your own radio program, that they know Alex Jones has credibility all the time. You are not a liar. You are not a deceiver. You have not intentionally gone out to do this to trick people. I know you. I've known you for years.
Well, I mean, thank you, George. But, I mean, have I ever, in the 6-7 years I've been on your show, I came on 3 years ago, and I wasn't really breaking anything. I was reading the trials of Gardasil, the papillomavirus vaccine. It said it was killing some people that took it and maiming others. Now that's all over mainstream news. I mean, most of what I do is you say I'm a collector. I just collect facts and information that are already out there. And so I have such a pure heart when I'm doing all this that I wasn't even imagining it would be seen like that. And then that glitch happened. So again, it's the good news is hundreds of newspapers, Fox News, you name it, L.A. Times have covered it. They get it. It's pretty positive coverage. They're linking the 20 minutes with the president. They understand that it's Sheen's way of reaching out to the president. And so overall, it's turned out being much bigger than when he first went public in 2006. And that was a huge national news story. So I'm very, very excited that now as people heard him live, there's a In the 20 Minutes with the President link on InfoWars.com. There's now a 20-minute interview posted that I did at his home with him there explaining why he did this. So all of that is there. I think what we should have done was just release it all at the same time instead of planning to dole it out.
Or not even do the fake interview with the president. You know, Charlie's questions, his 20 questions are as good as anyone has ever brought up for this 9/11 commission, an investigation. I mean, he was right on all of them. And, Alex, if somebody would do an interview with you or me and we weren't there, and they put in words that we never said, I'd be nuts. You'd be nuts.
At the same time, George, I'm not saying WMDs were in Iraq. I'm not saying that, Yellow Cake was in Niger. I'm not saying I wasn't going to hire lobbyists and then all I hire is lobbyists. I mean, you have to judge a tree by its fruits. And we have put out millions of good, fresh, delicious apples. And then in this particular story, the tree's got like 100 apples on it, and 10 or 15 have a worm in it just because we're not perfect. But, I've said I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize. Overzealousness gets us. Everybody in our business, we've all rushed with a story.
Exactly. It's like I'm like a birdhound or a bloodhound. Who more and more I realize that I get so focused on something that I get tunnel vision, I'm also working about 15, 16, 18 hours a day lately trying to finish my new film, Fall of the Republic, trying to I'm just doing too much at the same time. So as soon as Fall of the Republic comes out in October 21st, I am going to cut back and only do a few basic things for about a month, just because I have been doing this so long, so focused, so constantly, just too much data, and now it's all coming true.
Well, what do we do now to get these 20 real questions that someone like Charlie Sheen has pointed out to get our legislators to react to it so we can get some answers?
Well,
because they're great questions.
Well, absolutely, George. In closing, I'll say this, and I appreciate the time tonight and you having me on. That's the main thing that I'm frustrated by, but overall it's turned out to be good and people got past the confusion.
Well, you got publicity on it. I'll give you that.
Well, Charlie. Yeah. But at the same time, they say you can't argue with success. This wasn't what we were trying to do. Charlie's a writer. He's been a director. He's a movie star. He likes to write things. I think he did a great job, and I admire him. And a lot of people are reading it and saying he's brilliant. But I do understand that there should have been a better disclaimer, and that was just an oversight. But Charlie wants people to go to congressional meetings, to town halls, to Obama's press conferences. If Obama won't meet with him or Bob McElvain or some of the 9/11 families who've lost children, if he won't meet with the Jersey girls, and I'm not at liberty to get into all of this right now, but Charlie has officially reached out to the White House. He's officially talking to them behind the scenes. I can tell you more in the next few days. If they won't do this, when Obama promised all this hope and all this change and Charlie supported
him. Well, he may not after this false interview that he wrote.
Well, whatever. The issue is he doesn't have to meet with Charlie. Charlie's saying he wants him to address the 20 points. And Charlie believes that Obama probably would have responded the way he did in this letter because he has responded to 9/11 in other speeches and interviews this way.
Assume that, though.
Well, actually, George, a lot of what you see in there, Charlie is unbelievable research. He just does incredible amounts of it. He actually went and pulled quotes and statements, and a lot of that is very closely paraphrased. The amount of research, Charlie probably put, no exaggeration, 200 hours into this.
I would believe that.
I was at his house two different occasions for like 6 days in the last month and a half as he wrote this, watching him from sun up until 2 in the morning researching and writing this. And so I was just so stunned by what he was putting into it. I got to where I love.
I understand. Easy to say very quickly. Honest mistake?
Overall, yes, not to put the disclosure at the top.
All right. I'll see you later. Alex Jones, we'll be back in a moment with Whitley and Ann Strieber. Starfire Tour on Coast to Coast AM. Time Shifts with Whitley and Ann Streber, Starfire Tour, and they're next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this hour we've got Whitley and Ann Streber and Starfire Tour for a couple hours tonight. Whitley, of course, and Ann Whitley, the author of more than 20 best-selling books, Communion, Superstorm, written with Art Bell, novels, The Grays, 2012. He's done some films. He's all over the place. Critical Mass, his latest, a thriller about nuclear terrorism. Whitley was on the program with me just a few months ago talking about that, and is a regular contributor to Coast to Coast. And he and Ann also run the unknowncountry.com website. And here they are on Coast to Coast. Whitley and Ann, how are you two?
Well, it's great to be here.
And me too. I'm enjoying it.
Super. And I enjoyed Vancouver with both of you.
Yeah, well, that was such a great time.
And I said the wrong thing, and I apologize for that.
What'd you say? You're okay.
I used the B word.
No. She did. She used the four-letter word on the show, but that was Canada, and they didn't care. well, we're here talking tonight about time and the fact that it's changing, and I think everyone feels it to a greater or lesser extent. And we've met a weird person and had some very interesting experiences with her, Starfire Tour, who'll be on with us in a few minutes.
Here she is, respected psi researcher, scholar, author, experiencer, discovered
right.
The unified field theory. Let's bring her in to say hi, Whitley, and then tell me a little bit more about her. Hey, Starfire Tour, how are you?
Hi, George. I'm just fine.
Good to have you with us. Whitley, tell me a little bit about the relationship, how you discovered her. Basically.
Well, Ann and I went to a screening of Lynn Cattai's movie about the
Phoenix Lights
at the Warner Brothers Studios, and somehow we ended up meeting Starfire either there or through someone who was there. I'm not really sure exactly how it happened, but we met her and her associate, Brandon Scott, and got to talking, and I was quite fascinated because for two reasons. First, she's an extremely careful researcher, and to the point where she's just exhaustive, and yet what she's researching is so incredible that you have a hard time believing it could be true until it happens to you as it did to us more than once. We had time slips. And let me tell you about one. First one that hit us, and Starfire will tell us more later about what they are, but suffice to say, I open the newspaper one Friday morning to look at the movies, the LA Times, and they still had a listing of the new movies. And there was a movie by a director we're interested in called Claude Chabrol, called A Girl Cut in Two. This is a few years ago, so
okay.
2007. And I read the thing to Ann. I read in detail. I read everything, and she said, "Oh, good, we'll go see it later." And I finished my breakfast, and I glanced into the paper again to look for the movie theater and what time it would be on so we could make our plans. I couldn't find the notice. I looked through that newspaper again and again. I combed the thing. I couldn't find the notice. Now, I was terribly perplexed because it's not that I'd read it and then said, oh, something to Ann. I actually read it out loud to Ann, word for word.
I remember it clearly.
Right out of the paper.
Right out of the paper. And then it doesn't exist anymore. And so I went on the internet and I found out that he was making the movie, A Girl Cut in Two. But how did I know the title of it?
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was bizarre. But here's the most extraordinary thing. I never noticed anything like this in my life until meeting Starfire. And then, I mean, the thing that was so extraordinary was when this happened, we actually knew somebody who could explain it. And it wasn't the only thing like that. The most interesting things about Starfire and Brandon is that he's like an illusionist, a professional magician.
He's a friend of ours. He's a magician, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
And an awesome magician. But, you know, you think magician, weird things happening with time, people reappearing, disappearing and reappearing. And then the following thing happened. And Anne will cut in here in her part of the story in just a second. We're in the Magic Castle, that fabulous club in Hollywood.
Where Brandon plays every
Where Brandon
time.
Plays, and we're there at his invitation. We've had dinner together. The girls step into the ladies' room, and at the time, this is a few years ago, Anne was still could conceivably get a little disoriented because she had that stroke in 2004 when she was in a new place. So I was sort of hanging out to, so that I'd be there when they came out.
I would always get lost.
Get lost, yeah, exactly. instead of telling me to, she does. Anyway, so I'm sort of hanging out, and what happens is Anne comes out of the ladies' room, and this other woman comes out behind her, and, you know, I step up, and then Starfire comes out, and I don't think anything is unusual until it turns out. Well, you tell the rest of it now, Annie.
Well, we go in there. Starfire and I go in the ladies' room. It's a small ladies' room. There are two stalls.
Very old place, too, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Very funky place.
Yeah.
All kinds of secret passages.
Yeah, but none in the ladies' room. So we go in the ladies' room, and there are two stalls, and we do what girls always do, is we look under them to see if there are any feet. And I don't know if you guys don't do that.
No, we don't have to do that.
Okay, well, we do. So we go in there, and so there are only two stalls. They're both empty, so nobody else is in there. So we both take one. I'm done first, come out, wash my hands, step outside, and wait for Starfire. And I see Whitley upstairs in front of the men's room looking down at me. Okay, I'm standing there. Starfire has not come out yet, but this woman comes out, pushes past me. Whitley sees her. I see her. And I said to myself, wait a minute. She never went in.
She wasn't, but she came out.
But she came out.
Yeah.
And she wasn't in there when we were there.
Yeah.
And then Starfire comes out. And I said, well, did you see that woman? He said, and she said, oh, yes, yeah, she bumped into me at the sink when I was washing my hands.
How weird.
Oh, it was weird. And we decided not to describe her to each other. She was wearing a very distinctive skirt because we wanted to kind of, you know, not influence each other. But we did describe her separately to Whitley.
And it's described exactly the same person. Then Brandon was finished with his show, and he comes up, and so we describe her to him, and he says, oh, I know who that is. It's the photographer. And so we go into the photography studio. She's there photographing tourists.
There she is.
And there she is. And she says, yes, I was just in the ladies' room. And go ahead and tell her.
And she remembers bumping into Starfire.
But not you.
She didn't even see you? She pushed right past me. She didn't bump into me. She just came out the door.
It looked like she followed Anne out the door, but there was no contact that, you know, you normally would remember. I mean, you know, you might remember bumping into somebody, but just passed her.
So then I got suspicious, and I said, there must be a secret door inside the ladies' room, because the Magic Castle is full of secret doors. And so we go in there, and we look at the wall, and we feel the wall, and we don't find any door. But Starfire is just determined to check this out. So she actually goes on the Internet and gets the blueprint of the Magic Castle, and she found there has never been a back entrance to the ladies' room, and there's no secret door there.
Just in case.
I went back to the Magic Castle at a point where it was less crowded. I mean, not in the evening, and I went in, and I went into the ladies' room myself. I looked through the entire ladies' room, including the ceiling.
Whitley, you're admitting this live on this radio show.
I'm admitting it live on the radio show because I was just terribly curious about whether or not this was real. I mean, it was so clear. It was a totally physical experience. But something, what was wrong with it was that the person, from our perception, never went into the bathroom.
But she did come out.
There was absolutely no way. There's only one door. And that night, we asked her, and she didn't have any perception of anything unusual.
She was just doing her thing.
Big deal.
Yeah.
But that was not the way we perceived it. And again, when Starfire comes on, she's going to explain to you what happened. Just the darndest thing. And since then, there have been any number of these incidents. You actually, when you talk to her and you're around her, you learn to notice them. Or they happen because of her. I'm not really sure which it is.
You know what I think it is? It's like the UFO experience. It's in that it's catching.
That could be a part of it.
Is this also, though, like putting your car keys down on the kitchen counter
and then you turn your head and they're gone. You can't find them. And then about 20 minutes later, they're in the same spot you put them in.
Yes, it can be. Exactly. And this was phenomenal for me because Ann and I and Whitley were just doing what people normally do, waiting to go see Brandon perform at the Magic Castle. And it's a very small ladies' room. And if you go on my website, you will find photographs and the actual written investigation and extensions of that that both Ann and Whitley wrote on their respective pages on Unknown Country. So
the website is starfiretour.com.
Right. Thanks, Whitley. Anyway, so I came out of the ladies' room, and it's very typical of having a time shift, time slip event. You forget it. It happens, and you no longer remember. You just move on with your life. So in between the time that it was like this woman just appeared in the ladies' room as I was walking toward the sink, and we almost occupied the same space at the same time.
Is this Starfire truly a time shift, or is it a warp in two dimensions, for example?
Well, this was what I call a time slip, and all time slips are an extension of a time shift, which is a phenomena in which our perceived reality is constantly changing, and that includes the timelines are constantly changing. So, and the brain usually is assimilated by the program that creates these changes in the timeline so that the brain and people don't even notice that things have changed. But this was a glitch.
And I assume this happens a lot.
A lot. All the time. But mostly people don't notice. But as Whitley said, when you're around me, there's just something about that. As you learn about the phenomenon, something in your brain, it's like a door opens.
What do you do? Do you do anything special? I mean, have you had them meditate or anything like that?
No.
Nothing?
No, not at all. It does not require that at all. You just have to be a human being having a human experience on planet Earth.
And now I assume, Whitley, it just doesn't go away. It doesn't stop, does it?
No. It doesn't, and I'm wondering if it's what it ultimately means, in that it's something real. It's not theoretical. It happens. But if you think for a second about the implications, they're absolutely incredible. The implication is really very clear that there is more than one timeline unfolding, and what is so extraordinary about this is that there's a lot of scientific research out there, and has been for years, it's nothing new, that suggests that this may literally be true, but no one actually experiences it. It's quite incredible in that respect.
You know, I've seen strange things happen, for example, in a parking lot, where I've seen a car come in, and then it parks. I haven't gone anywhere. I might be sitting in my car. I'll turn my head, and it's gone. And there's no way it could have left. There's no way I would have missed it driving around me.
Right.
And I just, you know, you shake your head, and you go, where did it go?
Right. And that is a glitch in the program. As a matter of fact, as you were opening the show on a time prompt, 9909, or whether it's the 1111 time prompts, are actually brain pings caused by the core matrix, which is like the hard drive that creates all these time shifts and coexisting timelines. It's a ping to ensure that the brain is calibrated with the new post-time shift timeline, that everybody's brain is in line to accept this changed timeline as if nothing has happened, except there's a glitch. And the conscious brain does remember these pings. And they become very curious about them. And the more people that are curious, the more people are going to recognize what time shifts are. In fact, they are having a personal brain awareness shift.
Remarkable. We'll talk more with you about that the next hour, Starfire. Whitley and Ann, I've got you for a few moments. You've got another event coming up in October. Tell me about it.
That's the Dreamland Stargate. It's going to be at Joshua Tree, and Starfire is actually going to be there talking about the secret of time.
Cool.
I'm going to be talking about alien contact, and you can find out more at unknowncountry.com. Go there and click on the store tab.
Our buddy William Henry, will he be there?
William Henry will be there. Ann Strieber will be talking about aliens in the afterlife. William's going to be talking about becoming your own Stargate, and we're going to have a Star Watch, Skywatch on Saturday night at Joshua Tree. It's going to be just a beautiful experience, I'm sure.
Joshua Tree is just a wonderful area.
Awesome area, and also one of the great UFO sighting areas in the country, and hopefully we'll get lucky.
Unknowncountry.com, you click on the store tab section right there.
That's right.
Whitley, what's new with you in the world of writing?
I have a new book coming out in June called The Omega Point, which is about the end of the world. What if it really happened?
I see another movie here.
That's possible, I guess. It's always possible.
Update us on some of your movie projects.
Well, The Grays is coming along pretty well. I'm hoping to see something. It's been very slow, but the development process can creep at times in movies. 2012, not my 2012, is coming out in November, and I'm hoping that The War for Souls will come out in another year or two, but I'm not sure. It might have been sort of preempted by Roland Emmerich's 2012. And The Key, there's a lot of interest in making The Key into a movie.
We have two people who want to make it.
Two people who want to make
really?
The Key into a movie. And that surprised me. How can you do it? But they think you can.
That's interesting. And Bob Gleason, our joint editor, called me a couple weeks ago. He's doing a project on 2012 as well for, I think, the History Channel. Are you two going to be up in New York?
Yes, we are.
We're going to be there. We're going to be involved in that, too.
Good. Well, yeah, they called me about you two, and they said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Grab them now."
And, thank you.
And up you go. And Bob's, of course, a great guy too. And tell me a little bit about I watch and read regularly Unknown Country that you and Whitley do, and the stories are phenomenal. And you come up with a regular column every once in a while as well.
Yes, my diary.
Where do you two get? Because I search all the time, but you always seem to find some incredible material.
Well, I don't want to give away my sources.
I need them.
You have a link at the bottom of every story to the original source, so people can tell that it's real science.
Well, I quote your website quite often, and because you've given us a lot of great stories.
She's a master researcher. I don't know how she does it either. I have to be honest with you. She's just unbelievable.
Well, I'm looking forward to this ride tonight with the Starfire Tour and see where it takes us with some incredible things. Time shifts. This has always fascinated me. There's something weird out there, Whitley.
And time is changing. Something is changing. I know it. I can feel it.
Well, look how quickly. I mean, here we are going into, October in a few more weeks.
How can that be?
Where did everything go?
It's like the entire world is turning into missing time.
Yeah. I mean, we're almost time-slipping months. They just keep going by quicker and quicker.
They say the veil between the worlds is dropping. The veil between the parallel universes is dropping, too.
Absolutely. Well, Whitley, thank you, and Ann, thank you. I appreciate you being on the program.
Oh, a pleasure.
Nice to be here.
You too. Whitley Strieber and Ann Strieber, and we've got Starfire Tor, who will be our special guest next hour as well. Maybe a little bit later on next hour, we'll open up the phone lines as well. Starfire, how did you get involved in all this?
Even as a small child, I was experiencing incredible paranormal phenomenon, and I would have a dream of some event, something I was not connected to in my waking world, and yet these things would come true. I am very scientifically minded. I wanted to understand, how does this work? What is it? And so I began to look. I began the search. Until eventually I began to have these changing reality experiences, and not just by myself, with other people right there experiencing the same thing. And then one day I had an experience where everything that had happened to me was actually documented in a newspaper and on a radio show in two different parts of the world. And what it showed me was that I was in two different places in the world, documented.
I love it. We're going to talk more about that, Starfire, when we come right back. Time shifts, time slips on Coast to Coast AM.